Hi, it's Dan Wilt here, and I'm so glad that you've joined to watch this seminar from Team to Tribe, 9 Attitudes to Maximize Your Contribution to Your Team. This video seminar has been put together to encourage you, to inspire you, hopefully to challenge you, to press some holy buttons within our hearts, because every button I might push or the Holy Spirit pushes is one that's going to be one that I need pushed as well. So I want to encourage you as we begin this seminar to grab a journal or a notebook, something that you'll go back to again and again for real. And just write down the actionable items that come to you. Moments that you feel like the Holy Spirit has put the finger of God on something and said this for now. Write those things down. Write down quotes, ideas that are actionable for you that you sense have something to do with the way you need to be and move going forward as you work through these 9 attitudes to maximize your own contribution to seeing your team flourish and to seeing the worship life of your local church flourish as well. So let's get started. We're going to look at 3 different areas, and of course, the middle one's going to take the lion's share of our time. Number one, what is a team versus a tribe? I want to explain this image or this metaphor with a true life example. Secondly, 9 attitudes to maximize your contribution to your team. We're going to explore those, and we're going to dig into Galatians 5 and unearth both heart, spiritual, and practical actionable tips for us in our worship communities. And then, of course, number 3, we're going to conclude with just a little bit on a team with the heart of a tribe. So let's begin. What is a team versus a tribe? Well, I've had the privilege of spending time with what's literally now hundreds of worship teams, leading worship with those teams, participating with those teams as a musician, training teams, being involved in conferences and seminars. And there are common challenges that we all face. Know that as I come to this moment, I recognize that you've probably got some time under your belt here related to worship ministry. And whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, whether you're a young person or an older person, we bring ourselves to these moments, and in teams, I've seen a particular Achilles heel rise, and that Achilles heel is that we're doing a task, and doing the task sometimes feels as though it is simply the execution of a great worship set on a Sunday, whether it's remotely done or whether it's live, and everyone having an engaging worship experience. Amen, we're done. Now, most of us would say we know that that's not real. That's not the full picture. But the truth is, I've experienced many worship teams that actually do function like that, like they simply have a task to fulfill, and if they can fulfill it, all is well. Now, if getting a task done, as I write here, was the goal of a worship team, then you really could put almost anyone who is capable with an instrument on the stage. And we say, oh, no, we can't do that. But, well, sometimes that's what happens in some way, shape, or form. But we all know that more is needed for us to thrive, for us to thrive and flourish as a worship ministry and as a local church and worship. Well, what is that intangible? Well, I think it's the difference between what I'm going to call a team and a tribe. Now, I want to just say this at the gate. I do not want to dismantle the word team. I think it's a great team. I will still call my worship team our worship team. But there are characteristics of a tribe. We think of that sometimes as a hip word for talking about us having maybe a little more community than others, a sense of connectedness, a sense of we. But I actually want to dig into this image a little more deeply and see if it has some really penetrating insights that will actually change the way that we think about the word team and that we function and how we function, as a team. So this question, number 2, is what does a team value? Well, a team has a common task and purpose, a common gift and a skill set, a common set of goals, a need to work together to accomplish something. We could think of a basketball team for a moment to just kind of get into the world of sports rather than a worship team in a church, or you could think of any other type of team that you know. In a basketball team, there is a task, there's a common purpose, a gift, a skill set, some goals, a need to work together. But at the end of the day, they don't necessarily need a strong, deep sense of community and connectedness to pull it off. They can succeed at winning in any number of ways. And often, you'll have team members who are quite mavericks, but they've learned how to play with the team in order to have their team succeed. But this is different than what a tribe values, and I want to explore this a moment. Some things are similar. A tribe has a common task and purpose, a common gift and skill set, a common set of goals, and a need to work together. It's very similar to a team in this sense. But a tribe also carries a common story, a common history, a common set of values, a common vision, a dream for a preferred future as a worshiping community, and they bring that to the moment. Now, let me illustrate this with a real experience I had in Drakensberg, South Africa, many years ago. We were staying at a place, and some of the locals, we were told, wanted to do something for us that particular evening. And so we all gathered. I think we were in kind of a semicircle format, we who were visitors there, and we began to hear this sound of singing and shuffling coming from around the corner through a doorway in another part of the room. And we wondered, what is this? Well, all of a sudden, these members of the Zulu tribe in the area came in, and they were women and men, old, young, and children. And it was beautiful, this sight that you saw, the sense of family, the sense of we, the sense of connectedness. And as they came in, they were humming and they were chanting and they were singing and they were moving. But something else began to happen that I found fascinating. We would have moments where their singing folded into a child or children coming forward, and then they would flow back into the back and recede. And then a woman or women would come forward, and then a man or men would come forward. And it would almost flow in and out so much so that you couldn't tell always who was leading. Who was guiding this? What was actually happening? And it wasn't pristine sonically, like their harmonies and all those sort of things. It was just human voices making it happen in the moment. It was raw. It was visceral. It felt engaging, like they were inviting you into a family, into a common story, into their history, into their values, into their vision as to who they were and who they were becoming as a people. And it felt long, and it felt broad, and it felt deep, and it felt wide. And we felt drawn into this river by their singing, by their creative work, by their beautiful expression of tribe. So there was something more than team functioning. It was family. It was an integrated reality of people coming together. Now, how does that relate to us? Well, in a team, we have a definition of success. And in a tribe, they have a slightly different definition of success. A team wins with the successful completion of a set, that it would go well on a Sunday morning. Now, most of us would say, come on, Dan, it's not that cut and dry. Of course, we want more than that. But I've watched many worship teams function as if that moment in time is the big win. That's it. Now, a tribe wins with a much broader, longer view of what's happening in their community. They win with a successful set, sure, a team that has a tribal heart and mentality, built on a successful community life, however, relationships, a sense of shared progress toward the mission of that small C church and the large C church being fulfilled, and a sense of creative flourishing together. You feel the story when they lead. And like a tribe, they can step forward, someone can step forward, and someone can recede for a Sunday, or they can recede for a month, for a year, for 5 years. There's this give and there's take. You sometimes can't see who's leading because there's such a sense of connectedness and fluidity that's clearly been forged in relationship. Right? It's been forged over time. There are things that can only happen over long periods of time. I love what the Ents say in the Lord of the Rings series. We don't say anything unless it takes a long time to say. Sometimes life takes a long time to say together. And this tribal heart changes, I am confident, the music. It changes the sense of engagement in the room when we're leading, when we're playing together, when we're back there doing sound or the visuals. It changes the dynamics in the room. It helps our whole community flourish in worship. Now let's look at just 9 attitudes to maximize our contribution to that flourishing as a tribe. And we're going to look at Galatians 5:22. Of course, it's the passage on the fruit of the Spirit. We gain insight into making our team thrive or helping our team thrive in a deep tribe-like way from this passage. And we're going to, in a sense, squeeze it, fruit metaphor, for all the juice we can get out of it. Unless you like wine, then it's all the wine, but it's both and, right? We're going to see if we can squeeze it and just unearth some ideas that could help our contribution to us moving from being just a team to being a team with the beating heart of a tribe within it. And that tribe not being isolationist, but connected to the whole body of God's covenant people over human history. Those things resonate, and then from that, connected deeply to our human family and tribe that we are called to serve and to bring into the greater story of which we are all a part. So I'm going to read this once through, and what I'd like you to do is ask you to read it with me out loud. We're going to take our time and read it. Then I'm going to read it a second time, and in that moment, I'd like you just to be quiet, listen to me read it, and then jot down any words or phrases that jump out to you. Just pick one or two maximum that seem to hold a richness to them. I'm going to read this from Eugene Peterson's rendering of the scriptures, The Message. So let's read Galatians 5:22 together. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, but able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Now I'm going to read it again. Holy Spirit, open your word to us and open us to your word. Begin to speak into our hearts those things you want to share now. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Amen. Well, let's let these words resonate in us, simmer in us as we go through each one of the fruits of the Spirit. And I want to draw practical applications as well as applications that relate practically to the heart and the way we live this out and help our team to flourish in a tribal way in our everyday and every week interactions with one another. So these 9 attitudes are as follows. Number 1, love, affection for others. Affection for others. Make it a point to express dignity, affection, appreciation to and for one another every time you do the task, you begin a rehearsal, or you dive into a task related to worship. Season your interactions with a true sense of holy and appropriate but connected family affection. Dignifying the other people, expressing appreciation. Just don't make it about the music. When we make it just about the music, it speaks to the congregation. This is just about the music to us. It speaks over time. But if it truly is about love and affection for others, then we'll learn to care for one another along the way, and our worship life together will actually be a discipleship center for us to grow in and through. Number 2, joy, exuberance about life. Laugh together, play together. make the journey the destination together. Plan non-explicitly spiritual connecting points at least 2 times a year, as best as we can in remote ways or in live presence ways. These power the hard work of ministry. Now, joy is hard come by sometimes in our lives. It is an attitude. It's a virtue, I believe, that can be cultivated. But at the same time, there are areas of our lives that are broken. And we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to continue to invite us into the joy of the Lord. We need to sing the songs we need to sing as well as the ones we want to sing. We need to say the Psalms in prayer, open the Psalms privately, and pray those prayers of joy to the Lord. My heart will sing and shout before the Lord with joy and with gladness. Those dynamics help us become a person of joy. And sometimes we need counseling, we need help, we need supports, we need spiritual directors, we need guides to help us find some of the fullness of life we might feel like we're lacking so that we can contribute joy, true heartfelt joy in our communities. Number 3, serenity. Keep short accounts with one another, taking the time to pray when the task becomes a burden or two lives conflict together. Be difficult to offend. And make things right quickly when you offend one another, when you offend someone else. Now again, as I said, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, just jot down the words or phrases that are meaningful for you, that are actionable, that feel pregnant with the Holy Spirit's work to bring you to a place of new life and new birth in these areas of the heart. Number 4, patience. This is a willingness to stick with things, to see things through. But there's a dynamic here that I think is quite profound in the way this is said. Model patience in rehearsals. Defer to one another. Honor the worship leader's sense of time. Avoid playing around while others are working on a sound check. Create space for patience to be worked in you, for waiting on others. It's a great spiritual habit and practice. We work it like a muscle when we're together. Number 5, kindness, compassion in the heart. Compassion in the heart. Bear one another's burdens and speak with kindness in your tone, in the very tone of your voice. Find simple ways to express kindness like tuning another's instrument, getting someone water, etc. Find ways to express that tender gift of kindness in your interactions with one another. And then goodness. This is a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. See others and yourself as sacred expressions of the heart of God. Whenever you come together, no matter what they're acting like, no matter who they've come as that particular week, go beyond looking good to actually being good. As you work with those around you, be a real good disciple inside and out. I think it was Dallas Willard who said many years ago before he died, he said, you know, one of the challenges that all these churches face today is that many people within them have not actually decided to follow Jesus. They've prayed a prayer. They've said what they need to say. They do church. But at the end of the day, they're not welcoming the virtues of Jesus to transform them from the inside out, the Spirit of God, to make them actually think and act and move in the world like Christ Himself. We want to be good disciples, connected in small groups of people. In the Wesleyan tradition, it's bands. Together with others. There are small groups. There are connecting points where others are able to speak into our lives, to challenge us, to encourage us, but also to see what they see and call us into greater wholeness and strength in our journey with Christ. It's so important we have those connections. Goodness. Number 7, faithfulness. We're involved in loyal commitments. We're showing up on time. We're respecting one another's time. We don't expect the faithfulness of others to maybe cover for a lack of faithfulness in ourselves. Ask others on the team how you could improve. After they pick themselves up off the floor, they'll probably give you a pretty helpful answer. Maybe related to faithfulness and loyal commitments, but it might be related to another area. How do they perceive you? How could you improve? Even if they're wrong in their honesty, welcome the Holy Spirit to speak to you in it. Don't be difficult to offend and highly sensitive and insecure, though sometimes that's the way it is. Maybe you need to ask over email to start. I'm not a big fan of email for working through challenging things, but sometimes we need to take the steps we need to take to kind of break the ice. But could there be ways that God is welcoming you to improve in an area like faithfulness or love or creating patience in the team, helping nurture the peace of the team, serving a worship leader with faithfulness because you're respecting God's call in their lives? Fascinating. Number 8, gentleness. This is no force. Not forcing our way in life is the way Peterson renders it. Approach others as a giver rather than as a taker. Practice entrusting your roles to God instead of gaining your identity from those roles and quietly forcing your way because you believe that worship team musician or worship leader or sound tech or wherever else it is on your business card. The truth is, my experience is God will erase our business cards every evening and we'll wake up again, son or daughter. It's all it'll say is our name and son or daughter. That's it. And apparently there's even a new name that we're going to get one day that Revelation says is written on a white stone. We don't need to force our way. Let the Lord make a way for us and for you. And number 9, self-control. We're talking about attitudes that maximize our contribution to a flourishing team with the tribe's heart beating at the center. Self-control, able to direct our energies wisely, to marshal our energies, is the wording in the message. Learn to steward your time, your energy, and your resources well in private so that that overflows into your public life of interaction with the team. Learn that every yes to one thing is a no to another. For those that are especially extroverted or expressive or like to be involved in many different things, this is vital. It's a vital discipleship moment for us, but it's also vital to us flourishing as a team. I like to be around a group of people whose yes is yes and whose no is no. They're not afraid of how I'll respond to them if they have to tell me no. They say no from the heart, and then we work it out. Follow through on your word or renegotiate commitments you've made when you see you've overextended yourself. It takes courage to do these things, but it's vital to our whole team flourishing. When we look at these 9 attitudes, we start to come to this idea that we can be a team with the heart of a tribe, and we can know that our part is vital that we play. Whether we're tuning someone else's instrument for them, or whether we're helping with something technically for a remote service, or we're contributing in ways where other people feel served, there are many different things we can do with these 9 attitudes that will help us be a faithful contributor, but also at the same time grow deeply as disciples of Christ. Be spiritually formed in who we are and who God has designed and welcomed us, is continually inviting us to be. So we choose to serve rather than to be served. Whether you're a sound tech or whether you're a bass player, we choose to serve rather than be served. We co-create a nurturing culture together. If you're the visual tech, if you're involved playing the drums, or you just help tear gear down or set it up or do some of the visual stuff for online service, whatever it is, we are co-creating something together. We don't just leave it to the leaders while we kind of run roughshod through it, not responding to Christ in our own journey as we interact with others. That's the real training ground of disciples. It's not just what happens when we're alone. It's what happens in our family and in our homes, in our workplaces, in our community life that we share together. Then sometimes we have to discern times to step off the stage, make room to mentor and bless what God is doing. Look for opportunities to bless others. Actively look for opportunities. Be a seer of the person who needs the gift in the moment. Honor the leaders that God sends to you, that God allows you the privilege to serve with in your journey, and resist grumbling. Friends, I think you probably know this. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but let me just say it again. Let's sing in a sense in unison this idea that it's all a privilege. We have one life to live. Isn't it a privilege that we get to do this as part of that one life to live? I'd like to pray for us and bless the Holy Spirit's work in you and in the life of your wider worship community. Holy Spirit, you are God. And we give you thanks that in these moments, these last moments, you have decided again to speak into the hearts and minds and even the physical bodies of those that you love, your beloved, and this one who is beloved, beloved, beloved before you. So Spirit of God, would you tenderly begin to massage these fruits of the Spirit again into our hearts and into our lives, that we might live out of the overflow of intimacy with you rather than out of simply the loudness and banging of our exterior life of activity. Holy Spirit, we yield ourselves with open hearts and even open hands, if you'd like that to be a physical expression right now, the state of your heart. Just go ahead and open your hands. Spirit of God, make us like you, Lord Christ. And let us contribute in these ways of the Spirit to the flourishing of our worship community. We are so grateful for your presence here. And we ask now that we would thrive, that we would thrive, that I would thrive, as your child moving through the world, continually expressing these fruits of the Spirit and helping your people by that expression do the teamwork they need to do with that beating family, communal heart, shared history, shared story, shared dream together, radiating from the center. We come together with thankful hearts. We pray all this in your living, precious name, Jesus, our King and our Sovereign. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining in this seminar and participating. I'm praying that you have interactions with fellow worship team members over this material. And again, just share the words that you've written down, that you've connected with. I want to just let you know here that there are more resources for you available. If you join my email list over at danwilt.com, there are resources in the blog. There are other reference points for the resources, but it's really the email list where I regularly send out what's fresh, what's new, what are opportunities to be encouraged as a worship leader and as a worship team member. So thanks again for joining in. A blessing on you, and be encouraged. Peace and grace.